Welcome to the Edge Show, number 30. I think this is 30. like a big milestone, some kind of like, you know, you're turning 30 kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like we're starting to get past that point where we're not quite over the hill, but you're like, oh, I'm feeling like I'm getting older
now. We're middle-aged.
Yeah.
Middle-aged. The Edge Show, middle-aged edition.
Yep.
We got a light show for some news, mainly because there's been so much stuff that's been going on of late with the World Partner Conference, with an internal conference that we have for our sales folks. And also, we've got another conference internally coming up for our technical folks. So a lot of the news cycles have kind of bubbled down a little bit, if you will. But we wanted to recap a couple of pieces in case you missed out on what they happen to be. And you know what? You can kick it off, my friend,
because
this is kind of more up your alley.
It is. It is. I'm a big fan. And in case you hadn't heard, the next wave of Office is available for you to check out. Now, I know it was quite some time ago where we said Office sometime this summer. Well, that's gone.
It's summer.
Yeah. It's now, you know, as of Monday, you could go and download the next version of Office, so Office Preview. So, and there you're going to see new features of not only the on-premise product, but also Office 365.
Oh, I actually didn't know that. I thought it was just the on-prem stuff and that's it.
So
there's also the option to take a look at 365 as well.
Yeah, it's a little misleading, and even I had this mistake.
It's obtuse.
Yeah.
Obtuse.
Yeah. You go there and you click, if you go to that site and you just say click try now, that immediately leads you to the home version, which gets you
all of the
client. Yeah, the actual local client. But if you look directly below that, there's two buttons right there, which are trials for the two kind of versions of Office 365. So if you want the enterprise, which has the next version of Link and SharePoint and Exchange 15 and all that stuff, you can sign up for a trial for it.
Okay.
So there's a ton of different stuff in that.
Okay, I think this almost warrants like a whole show or a couple of shows that's
coming up. And that is definitely my plan, is to cover that in one or more future shows, some of the Office 365 stuff, as it very much relates to consumerization of IT, being productive on any device. For instance, some of the things is, you know, we touched optimized or enabled touch a bit more in the Office, next version of Office. You're seeing things like SkyDrive is enabled by default on saving documents to get things. And then, of course, we've got a lot of different deployment options for Office, too. Too much stuff to cover.
Okay, well. Yeah. That's good. So you'll be covering that in more detail in future episodes.
Yes,
stay tuned for some stuff
that's up
there. Windows, do you want to cover that one there for the official date? Because that kind of came out as a blog post entry
that's
and it's official and done. And guy started off with a post that basically said, it's in my calendar, it should be in yours. That's the first line of the post.
There you go. Watch the launch. If you want to see all of the new, you know, hardware form factors, which we've kind of held on the lockdown for quite a while, whatever else we're going to throw out. Honestly, you and I don't even know what else they're holding back now. But October 26th, definitely check it out.
Yeah, we'll have the link to that actual post in case you're interested in the show notes down below there. In case you're interested, take a look at them. But this also brings up something. This is something that came up as part of the Worldwide Partner Conference. I don't know if it was covered in detail enough or not, but I know I tweeted about it and did a Facebook post about it. Any person that typically in the past has bought a new machine with Windows 7 on it after we've announced the next release date of the next operating system, Microsoft has traditionally made a discounted price available for those people, significantly discounted price available, to go to the next version. We've gone one extra step further with that, and so now basically anyone with a license with Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7, if you bought it from back in the time when XP was around, 11 years ago, up to now, you can actually go for a special upgrade price as well, and that is $39, and this is US dollars, $39, in over 131 countries from the Windows.com website. Once everything goes GA, you basically can go there, prove that you have the proper licensing, and then you'll be able to go off and download an installer or actually download an ISO file for like $39. So
there you go.
Blog post will be referenceable again down below in case you're interested to take a look at that particular offer and if it's available in one of those 131 countries where you are. But that's that.
Yeah, well, and next we have to keep talking about Bing Maps.
Oh.
And we have a couple pieces of imagery that are now available for folks.
Yeah, because we just did a big image update with 165 terabytes before.
Right.
Like that was not even a month ago.
And now we have an additional 215 terabytes. So what I think I should, I want to buy my 250 terabyte drive and just go ahead and get an offline copy of all those. Yeah. Is what I'm thinking.
There might be a download link or something like that to be able to do.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's
yeah.
a pretty big storage array you'd have to yeah. have inside your yeah. office to be able to handle that one, man.
Just a big rack, you yeah. know, it's all good.
A couple of petabytes almost. We're yeah. getting up there.
There we go.
So yeah, lots of new information. It's also worldwide. It's not just U.S. So it has information about a bunch of different countries, yeah. the more rich resolutions. This is, again, ongoing developments to make Bing Maps better.
Yep.
If you haven't been in a while, go check it out.
Yep.
And lastly, I want to bring up again one of those news announcements I believe I made in the show last week with Simon with regards to additions of server and the RTM date for server is this copy of Windows Server 2012 Essentials now being available as a beta for download. So the download link will be included inside the show notes in case you're interested. This is the server that is going to be addressing the kind of gap area that exists for the current plans of having anywhere from a single server inside your office with streamlined functionality that has the same functionality as what you'd be expecting from a regular full-size server product, but doesn't have all the complexities of integrated components that the previous versions of SBS have had. I know that's been a challenge for my friends that work in the SBS world, has been how do you do the service pack, how do you do the updates of these products without breaking other stuff? So this is basically a new version of a SKU that's going to be available for upwards of, is it 25? I should know these numbers off by heart, but it's...
Just you folks who are not large enterprises, then that's you guys. That's
doctor's
who you
offices,
need to talk to.
Lawyers' offices, yeah. basically, you know, 25 up to 75 change as far as the size is concerned, licenses are concerned. Check the exact details in the blog because it is simply a beta release this right now.
Yeah.
But it does have the functionality you expect to be able to see in a full-size server product, like the ability to have storage groups. Storage groups allow you to get SAN-like capabilities with locally attached disk, be able to thin provision drives, things like that. You're going to have file versions as well, being able to include it. And from what I understand from the blog post, it'll also include similar functionality to what you expect right now in the home server or SBS 2011 Essentials Edition, which is remote web workplace, remote access to your individual systems, and other things like that. So, go download the preview. Go down and take a look at it. It'll be available, and they're estimating it's going to be available post RTM date. RTM date being September timeframe, as we've already announced, for Server 2012.
There we go.
And that's about it. Now, last week I made a promise that I was going to be talking about PowerShell this week with my friends from the PowerShell team talking about workflow. I couldn't get the schedules coordinated to be able to make us all harmoniously integrated, as I would say, for this particular episode. And so what I'm going to do is I dug in the archives and I found an episode that we didn't air yet. It's one of the lost episodes from the Channel 9 Live at TechEd North America, where I sat down and interviewed Aaron Chappell about multi-server management capabilities.
Yes. I happened to listen to that one. So it is a good interview. It's not that you're just dumpster diving and whatever.
No,
it is a good interview.
You know, it didn't get surfaced anywhere else, so this is the way that we're going to make sure it gets surfaced, and multi-server management capabilities of Server 2012 and get its spot in the sun.
And so. I'm sure that you'll be covering PowerShell in future episodes.
You got it. So
there you go.
How about we get Golnaz to run the tape?
All right.
Welcome. How you doing? This is Rick Claus. I'm from The Edge Show. We're here at TechEd on the Channel 9 live stage, and I managed to capture Aaron Chappell about Server Manager. So, you know, you just finished a session that was on something completely different but somewhat related.
Yes, Windows Server Update Services.
And, why don't you actually start out and just tell me a little bit about yourself, your background at Microsoft, for those of us that that don't know you that well. Introduce yourself.
Well, as Rick said, my name is Aaron Chappell. I'm a group program manager in the Windows Server team, and my team is responsible for the overall admin experience of Windows Server. So everything from our standards-based management through WMI, WSMAN, up through our automation, and then our multi-machine experience that we've delivered with Server Manager in this release.
That is awesome, because I've heard really good things so far. Lots of buzz from the keynote, lots of buzz from the foundation sessions, and even your sessions online as well, so far, have come back with very positive comments. You've made some really good improvements with Server Manager.
It's been exciting to be here and be able to showcase all of the work we've been doing over the last few years.
So you had about 500 people in your session yesterday. Can you tell me a little bit about how that went and what the kind of buzz was in the room that was going on?
You know, I started off the session and really asked people if they found something that was exciting to just not be quiet about about it. And it was great. We had several spontaneous applause throughout the demo. Jeffrey started off, he demoed, can you imagine this? He actually demoed installing rules and features on a Windows Server machine from a Linux box. Yeah. You know,
leave
with the improvements.
Jeffrey, bring a twist.
Exactly. With the improvements we've made in our standards-based management,
yep.
The ability to over WSMan using SIM talk to both Linux machines and Windows machines, we've really made that possible. And then I got to demo some of the great features we have within Server Manager. You know, it's really kind of the poster child for remote multi-machine management that we have in this release. So, very exciting.
It's review time at Microsoft. You should definitely pitch the fact that your demo seemed to be better received by others potentially. So I kind of dropped that one there for the audience. But you know, why don't you tell me about Server Manager? Because you know, Server Manager to me from the old days, I'm thinking about add and remove into the domain joins and promotion and demotion of domain controllers and stuff.
Yeah.
It's come a long way. Tell me about a couple of hit points about Server Manager.
It has. Well, I actually originally started at Microsoft working on a product called the Small Business Server.
Oh, yes, SBS.
And what was really cool with SBS was we tried to provide this really simplified experience for people to manage that server. And so as I've moved from Small Business Server into Windows Server, it's been great to take a lot of those concepts. And we started in Server 2008 by having a Server Manager. It was a single console that allowed you to manage that machine. Mm-hmm. In R2, we allowed you to move that and remotely manage machines. And now I think we've fully realized the vision of what we started off with Server Manager by allowing you to manage multi-machines in your environment, which has just been, it's been really great to see that go from idea over a set of releases through to realization.
Absolutely. Now, there's a number of sections to it. If you had to narrow it down, I know that you probably love the entire thing, but if you could think of the part maybe you got the biggest cheers or applause for during your session before, but what's the part you think is the kind of the coolest that's in there for Server Manager? Because obviously, Server Manager's in every install of server if you choose to use a GUI. So what is it?
I think the thing that we've really done in this release is we've listened to what we hear from the IT professionals, mm-hmm. which is we typically deliver a set of tools, but they want to customize them for their environment. And so the customizations that you can do within Server Manager to really take that dashboard view, which is, I come in the morning and I want to look at my servers. Here's that overall view that I have. I can really customize that for my environment. So I can weed out the alerts that I don't want to see. I can tune it to see the specific services or events that I want to see and really make that my dashboard, my home. I can customize the groupings of the servers, based upon geographic region or different applications that are running on them and really make it my own.
From a size perspective and scale perspective, because you talk multi-server management, obviously you can go down as small as managing just one.
One, yeah.
Or you can go up to X. What's your sweet spot for the maximum
line? We've optimized the user experience for between 25 and 30 servers.
Okay.
But we've done testing in-house up over 100 servers. And around 100, 125, you're going to see good performance.
Okay.
Beyond that, we haven't done as much testing. So definitely, the underlying platform we're built on, like PowerShell, WMI, that scales way beyond that. But you'll start to see in the UI because we're going and collecting data, we're pulling that in. And we have kind of larger lists of things. They may not be as optimized if you're in that environment.
Now, Server Manager is available during a full install.
Yes.
I know there's also a min shell and there's also a server core.
Yes.
So when you do the install with the current bits, which at this time is the release candidate, you have the choice of a full GUI or of a non-GUI.
Non-GUI.
Is the non-GUI, is that actually, I should probably know this answer, is that a core install or is that a min shell?
That's a core install.
Okay, so there's no server manager in there.
No, there's no server manager in there. We're actually moving in this release. We really believe that server core should be the default experience for all customers.
That's why it's
the selected default.
Okay, now I know. It wasn't a typo.
And in previous releases, we know that's been challenging, and namely because we haven't had the PowerShell coverage from an automation standpoint to be able to actually interact with that machine. We've added that in this release. We have over 2,300 new commandlets. And then we've made Server Manager available through RSAT, the Remote Server Admin Tools.
Yes.
And that is available, it simultaneously ships.
Sim-ship.
It shipped with the beta, it shipped with the RC, it's out there. Go install it, put it on your Windows 8 machine. It does require a Windows 8 machine to install it. You can actually install it on a Windows 7 machine. But we really want people to use Server Manager through RSAT to manage their server core machines. If you want that kind of, you're not ready to take the plunge and go all the way to server core, then you can really use the minimal shell interface. And that minimal shell, it removes IE, it removes the Explorer, but you can run Server Manager, you can run your MMC tools. And so it's a good kind of stepping stone towards Server Core.
Okay, so you still have the ability to hide the, I think it's context sensitive, right mouse click on a server, and then the quick launch list or whatever the proper term is.
You can launch all of the
launch
tools.
Launch the proper tools you need to based on whichever service you're selecting.
Okay. Exactly.
That's good to know. I didn't know that. That's
you learned something new with these interviews.
Hey, it's awesome. I'm doing that on the fly. It's great. Now, you mentioned that it does require Windows clients, release clients. Windows 8 release clients.
Yes.
Release preview is the current version that's out there. And it is SIM shipped. It's not available for Windows 7. Management-wise, you can also do it from a single full server GUI install or another min shell install as well to multiple servers.
Correct.
So if you were going to be trapped on a desert island with a couple of servers, would you want to go personally as a full GUI, as a min shell, or as a core install if you had a choice? I asked the same question to Jeff yesterday, so I want to see how you answer.
Well, I got to talk about one of the other cool features that we've added into Windows Server 2012.
Okay, well, which is as long as you come back to that question.
Which is the PowerShell Web Access. All right. So if I have PowerShell Web Access. That actually allows me to connect to a gateway and actually access any of the machines in my environment, get a PowerShell window to them, and I can do that from any browser.
Right.
So I'd have to definitely go with Server Core. I've got both Server Manager that I can access it. I can
That's
use
true.
Power.
Okay.
It's great.
I never thought of that. You could actually use the PowerShell. I call it it's probably not the right term, but I call it the PowerShell OWA. So that's probably
it was
OPA.
Really. I actually had we had a challenge last year when we were doing all the demos internally within the feature team.
Yeah.
That people kept coming up and they kept using these scenarios of, well, my manager when they're at the beach, they can use POWA, and I'm like, I'm not going back to review system. Yeah. You're not allowed to do that. No calling me when I'm on the beach.
That is nice. I like that a lot. From a what you've heard so far, I don't know if you have access to some of the comments back from people that are using this in a production environment, in a tap environment, that sort of stuff. Could you share any comments about that as of
yet?
Yeah,
I think we've got really great feedback initially. You know, I think Server Manager in the last release was something that people tended to, unfortunately, use to do the initial role install, but they didn't spend a significant amount of time in it. I think mainly because it was single machine focused.
Yeah.
With the ability to pull that view in from and bring all of my servers and really customize it, people are actually spending more time on the dashboard and really using it in an ongoing basis. And that's been great. You know, the number one feature that people have requested that just isn't in there, I will be transparent about, is the ability to show the PowerShell script from within Server Manager.
Yes.
You know, it was the hardest thing that we had to, that didn't make it into the release, but we've got plenty of things to do moving forward with that.
Okay. Now, you've all been saying the title of 2,400 PowerShell commands, 2,300 PowerShell commands.
Yeah, it's somewhere.
Different people say the middle there.
Like, yes.
Is the number going up? Is it locked at one part? Is this something that's going to be able to evolve? Have we built it from an architecture where it could evolve? Like, what's the scoop behind that from a PowerShell commandless perspective?
Well, from a PowerShell commandless perspective, I think the number is a little bit in flux right now because as people are locking
final,
down on
right?
the final,
it's not final,
they're figuring out, okay, well, what things do people really need? Do I combine these commandlets? Do I? And so it's going to be roughly, you know, 2,400 when we release.
We should have a lottery.
Exactly.
The
little, like, jar of jelly beans.
And then have a jar of jelly beans and see who actually gets the gets the right amount and see what the final number is. I'm pegging it at 2476 to see what comes up. That's my number.
Is it the Price is Right where you have to go like the closest with it going over?
You can't go over.
Yeah.
So what's yours? What's your guess?
I don't know. I think I actually would be a lie because I think I saw the most recent numbers today.
You're biased. We can't do that.
All right.
You're biased. We can't do that at all. How about resources? I mean, what can you point people to? Besides, obviously, go and download the bits. You should go and download to technet.microsoft.com/eval-downloads. Or sorry, eval center, actually, is the URL. Or just go to the main download page for Windows Server to get the current bits. What else would you suggest as a good place they could go to for some resources, maybe some blog posts, or maybe there are some TechNet documents, something like that? Are you familiar with that, that you can give them an inside angle on?
You know, the two things that I would point you to are the overall Windows Server blog.
Yep.
And then that links to both our PowerShell blog and our Server Manager blog.
Good point.
And both of those are great resources. The team's pretty active. We've been queuing up and waiting for the main blog post to go live on the Windows Server. That's happened now, so you'll really start to see the team and the actual developers and testers who are working on the product get their favorite things out there and post on what you can do with Server Manager and PowerShell.
Okay. I'll make sure they have those URLs inside the blog post
that's
aligned with this.
Great.
Any closing thoughts here at TechEd? Anything you want to kind of
share? Well, the one question you didn't ask me that has been our number one question at the booth was, well, Server Manager is great and it can manage my Windows Server 2012 machines. What about my existing machines? What can I do?
It's right there. I forgot. I'm sorry.
That's why I'm here. I'm helping you remember, right? So you can actually add in a Windows Server 2008 or a 2008 R2 machine.
Okay.
The one thing you need to do in order to make that happen is we have this thing called the Windows Management Framework. It takes PowerShell and WMI and WS Management, and it delivers the Windows Server 2012 version down level to Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2. So you have to install that package, but once you do, then you can add it in to the Server Manager console and monitor. It doesn't give you everything. You can't do performance counters, but it'll give you events, services, etc. So you can actually have one view of your environment.
Okay. I got a bit of a twist on a question.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that as well, but you know, it's kind of just one came popped in my head thinking of small, medium businesses, that sort of stuff. How about obviously, this works perfectly fine domain joint environment.
Yes.
What about non-domain joint environments?
In work groups?
Yeah.
Is there workarounds
for people to make it work, or is it supported or not supported?
It actually is supported. But I'm not the expert in that,
no problem.
I don't want to go. But check our blog.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll do a blog post
on that.
Follow
up on that. I just thought I would ask, is it possible?
Yeah.
You just said it is. So we'll find out the more details where it goes. Sounds good.
Very cool.
Well, that's about all I had. So I'd like to say thanks. You're busy. You got a lot.
It's been awesome. It's been awesome.
Do you have any booth duty lined up for the rest of the day, or are you?
Not for the rest of the day. So I'm going to decompress. I finished my last session, and we have a PowerShell event tonight. So
awesome. Thank you for taking the time.
It was great.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, as you saw, very fascinating stuff with multi-server management. I was so glad that I was able to sit down and chat with Aaron, and the fact that we had the ability to do that Channel 9 live at TechEds.
There you go. Watch the other episodes, too, if you haven't, because they are still very relevant.
You know what? Actually, I'll include a link to that in the show notes in case you haven't seen them, because they're not tucked inside the events category on the Channel 9 website. They are in a special category because Channel 9 live is kind of an entity unto itself, so I'll make sure we reference that. Make sure you give us some feedback as well in case you're interested to know what you want to hear about. Best way to do it is email to
edge@microsoft.com.
You got it. And you can also tweet us online @TNEdge. We also follow that one there. Are we done, dude?
We're done, man.
Get out of here.
Throwing the newspaper out.
Nice. We should do that on a more regular basis.
I think we should.
Well, the other guys throw little Channel 9 guys, so maybe we'll just throw paper at them.
That works, right?
We got it.
All right.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll see you the next time and catch you back on The Edge Show.